Frontline workers in hospital who were expecting to get their first dose of the vaccine this week will have to wait. A reduction in supply means that the HSE will use existing doses to complete the vaccination programme for those frontline staff who have already had their first jab. Nursing home residents and those in long-term stay will also get their second dose. The decision has led to criticism from those working at the coalface of this pandemic. Dr. Matthew Sadlier is a member of the IMO's Consultant Committee and he joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Are we talking here thousands of frontline workers who will have to wait until the first or second week of February for their first dose of the vaccine?
Well, I think essentially the problem is we don't know. And I think the problem is that we would like to know. I mean, the issue here today is about trying to protect staff and to allow the hospitals to continue to function, because obviously the hospitals can't work if we don't have staff. At this moment in time, there's approximately 6,000 staff who are off work because of issues related to COVID. And it's not acceptable that we have not got a plan that is vaccinating those who have face-to-face patient contact as the priority within the hospital service. And what we're calling on is that we get a transparency as about who has been vaccinated and how many people who are involved in face-to-face contact are still left to be vaccinated.
Yes, because the HSE say that all those working in COVID wards are in they're first on the priority list. But are you saying you don't know if all of those people, whether consultants, junior doctors, nurses, respiratory physios, radiographers, porters, cleaners, all of those who come into direct contact with COVID patients have been vaccinated first?
Well, I think the difficulty that we're facing at the moment is that, you know, we've almost 2,000 patients in hospitals with COVID. So every ward is now a COVID ward. And we've seen COVID outbreaks happen in hospitals. We've seen them happen in mental health units. We've seen them happen in other units. So the concept that, you know, that you can say that there's some areas of the hospitals are affected by COVID and others aren't, at this point where we are, is not true. I mean, every part of the hospital and everybody who's face-to-face contact with patients is at risk. And we've seen that with the very high numbers of staff who have been affected and who are currently off work.
But given the reduced supplies in the vaccine, particularly on the part of AstraZeneca, we had that announcement over the weekend, significant reductions they expect in their supplies. What should the HSE have done?
Well, I think we knew that there was going to be a vaccination campaign. We knew from whenever, last October, November, there was going to be a vaccination campaign. So, I mean, what we should have done, and I know it's spilt milk and all that, is we should have had a very definitive list in every hospital, in every service, that should have been worked out over the last 2 months, rather than trying to put together a list of the staff who needed vaccination and a list of how we were going to deliver this vaccination over the last 2 to 3 weeks once vaccination supplies came into the country. Yes, we are, and I do have sympathy with the HSE that, you know, if you have 100,000 people to be vaccinated and you've only 70,000 vaccines, there will be a shortfall. But it's to ensure that those that who were at most risk, who we need to protect, because it must be said that protecting staff means protecting patients. And if we don't have staff in the hospitals able to man our ICUs, able to man our emergency departments, then we won't be able to treat patients who have this disease and other diseases adequately. So that is what we were calling for. But so I suppose at this point, what we need to have is some transparency over where are we going from now and who has been vaccinated, who is left to be vaccinated, and how we can manage that best going forward.
But do you think they should have taken an approach like the UK has done and given significant protection to 100% of frontline workers, i.e. give them the first jab, rather than having full protection for 50% of frontline workers through two jabs?
Well, that's a very difficult question. I know that has been questioned even within the UK by a number of the medical colleges as to whether or not they should have broken with the regulations that came from the vaccine manufacturers. I think it's a very difficult question. I suppose my own attitude will be that you need to follow the instructions from the vaccine manufacturers, because all we know is that the vaccine gives protection if it is given within the time frames that were used in the clinical trial. So breaking that regulation would have taken, you know, would be something that would be a kind of a high risk thing to do. And I think as you say, it is questioned what the UK has done over that, so I wouldn't have a specific answer for you.
Okay, well, in relation to PPE, because the INMO, the Nurses and Midwives Organisation, over the weekend said that they were very concerned over not being given the high-grade masks, the FFP2 masks, to their staff, despite asking for them. Now, the HSE has said there's no reason why hospitals cannot and should not be giving, should be giving these masks to their staff. What's your experience of PPE?
Well, our experience is very similar to the INMO, that, you know, as I said earlier, at this point in time, with 2,000 patients with COVID in the hospitals, all interactions in the hospitals have to be seen as high risk at this point in time. And we would also be calling that FFP2 and the higher grade masks are available for staff when they're interacting in face-to-face contact with patients.
What and are they available at this in point your experience? In time,
at this point in time, they are available, and we've yet to see a shortage. But at the same time, they are not the standard usage mask that is being advised to be used at all patient interactions. And what has been said is that they will be available if people have risk assessments performed towards the action they're doing. Now, what we are saying is that at this point in the pandemic, all interactions with patients are high risk. The COVID is incredibly prevalent across the hospital system, and as such, these masks need to be guaranteed to be available for staff engaging in all face-to-face patient contact.
Okay, thank you for talking to us this morning, Dr. Matthew Sadlier, who's a member of the Irish Medical Organisations Consultant Committee. It's 7:25.